Hello and welcome to Last Time On. This is the podcast for people who want to watch all this prestige television, but who's got time for it?
Apparently, I do. I've got time for it to watch it again and again and again and again.
Hello and welcome to Last Time On. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to watch all the prestige television, but who's got time for it?
Apparently, I do. I can watch it again and again and again and again
and again.
And welcome to Last Time On. This is the podcast for people who want to watch all this prestige television, and they don't have time for it. I'm Jafar.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Victor.
And we're here today with our go-back episode of SG-1, the last episode of SG-1 we'll be watching on Pod, Season 4, Episode 6.
Holy crap.
Window
it's been a long
of opportunity.
Journey. Window of opportunity.
It has. We've watched some episodes of Stargate and spent 3 episodes reading Wikipedia to each other. It's
quite
time to watch one and ride off into the sunset on SG-1, having thoroughly completed the show and all being experts now.
Yeah, I have been looking forward to this episode because we're finally going to learn what the future holds, because Jafar has been keeping it a secret from me and Ben. I have no idea what TV show he's going to pick for us to watch.
Well,
next,
so we know.
I'm excited.
Because Jafar is my friend.
You son of a bitch, so you leave the new guy
Viper.
Out of it. Okay.
Viper. It's going to be Viper,
oh,
right?
Viper.
It's going to be Viper.
Viper.
I will not say until the end of the episode, but I will say that it is probably not Viper.
Having known Jafar for close to 2 decades, I knew he wouldn't pick Viper.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. Pretty sure it's not Viper.
I did get Viper loaded up on my media server, though.
Awesome.
Just in case. Just in case I lost. But I didn't, so I do get to pick the next show, but we do have an episode of SG-1 to get through before I reveal my pick.
And this is weird, just because, like, watching this episode, going back to Season 4, it's like, there's no Jonas, there's no Mitchell, there's no Landry, there's no Vala. It's like, is this even Stargate?
This is
and somewhere Angela
is
just
Stargate.
Screaming out in anger.
This is Stargate Light. You know, I gotta say, for a Groundhog Day style episode, they did this one really well. I gotta say, I'm starting to understand. I started off this podcast as a Gator hater, but I get it now. I get why people love the Gate so much. It's the writing, it's cheesy as fuck, but it's really well done. I got to say, it's really well done. So
I was definitely apprehensive. And before we started watching, it was just like, we'll do this. But at the same time, it's like, I know that this is like very pro-military, imperialist sci-fi. You know, you don't get to shoot the out front of Cheyenne Mountain a bunch without asking very nicely.
Yeah.
So I'm sure some concessions were made there.
But like, set up a hot dog cart?
Concessions.
Why do we call them hot dogs? Some folks call them dogs, franks, frankfurters, a wiener, or a red hot.
But here we are on Season 4, Episode 6. I do think, overall, if I were to go back and watch Stargate from jump, I think I would like it.
Me too.
I think I would dislike a bunch of episodes, but, I mean, I'm still watching Star Trek Voyager right now. There are some stinkers in there, for sure.
There are some stinkers in there.
I mean watched, Next Gen.
I've watched the first 2 seasons
fantastic.
Of Next Generation several times. They're
God, why would you do that to yourself, Ben?
Stinkers in there. So, you know, it's just like, every show has those. I don't think that this show has a disproportionate amount of them, given the number of seasons it has. I'm guessing it's about... I mean, there are numerically are probably more than your average show, but when you've got 10 seasons.
Right. Hey,
you've
if
got
it's
more
only
time
it's,
to
if
build
it's,
up the stinkers.
If you're hitting 95%, that's still 5% bad. And when you've got over 200 episodes, you know, that's more bad episodes than some shows get episodes.
And they've yeah. apparently hit all the classic sci-fi TV tropes. Like, you know, we got a Groundhog Day episode. We had a body swap episode. We had clip show episode. We had
didn't
clip
get
show
a
episode.
Casino.
We had clip show episode. We didn't get a heist. Well, I'm sure there's a heist episode, but we did not get a casino episode. Mm-hmm. I had a fucking dragon. Oh my God. I actually fought a motherfucking dragon. That should be right up there with Jump the Shark. You jump the shark and you fight
or
the dragon.
You ride the dragon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do we want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into
right.
it.
All right. We open on SG-1 observing a star as it goes through the onset of menopause.
And I did DJ, like O'Neill here has sunglasses.
Yeah, he's got two sets of shades going on with
yep.
the sun. Yeah. And by the way, I should have mentioned this before we got started. The, you know, I can edit this later. Maybe I won't. Who knows? But this episode of Stargate SG-1, I'm pretty sure is the source of all the memes I've been seeing that I had no idea the context for, because I saw all of them in this episode.
So I know I've seen the golfing
it's gonna
thing
be fun.
Before.
Yeah, yeah. I finally understand when all of the lab rats and everyone on Dominion Media Television was all, when I announced that I would be joining this podcast, everyone was like, in the middle of my backswing? Like, I finally get it. Like, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Yeah. If I had only known what we had seen this before, the titles of the last three recap episodes would have been Fruit Loops again, and God damn it, Fruit Loops again. but we didn't, but now we do. But yeah, DJ is reading some Latin.
Yep, he's off in the corner rubbing himself.
Malachi just blasts him.
Yep. We do not know who Malachi is.
So we can do research. No, well, that's the thing is we can actually Google stuff because we've done our reveals. So I checked. This is the only episode he's in.
Okay. Yes. Because
this is our introduction to him. Yeah.
His name's actually Malachi.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Malachi starts playing whack-a-mole with his altar.
Yeah.
Yes.
The ancient whack-a-mole machine.
I have that exact phrase written in my notes.
Also, going back in time, somehow we completely jumped over the Teal'c soul patch era.
Right?
I love Teal's look here. So this episode was... When did it? Oh, wow. August 4th, 2000 was when this episode aired.
So the crew, like O'Neill is all like, oh, well, DJ, what's going on? And they radio him instead of like turning around and looking 20 feet over.
Yes.
Weird choice.
It's just right there. To be fair, I've done that before. You know, I've had roommates and I didn't want to like go upstairs to go say, hey, you know, so I just text them. So I can understand that. I can let that go.
But there's some real urgency here.
Yeah, and there's not even a wall. you could just be like, hey!
I did appreciate, though, like, our Malachi is our quote-unquote villain for this episode, or maybe Time's our villain. But Malachi is, like, doing everything he can to be like, Daniel, stop talking to me and get out of here. Go back through the Stargate. The storm's starting. Go home. Leave. Daniel, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And he's like, but my rubbings. And he finally just shoots it.
Understandable reaction. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I empathize.
And so
I've definitely
felt
this way at work before. It's the end of the day. Go home. We get some blue lightning that shoots out at the team. And O'Neill is transported in time to theme. O'Neill is very confused when we come back at the briefing. Both he and Teal'c recall having done this briefing before. The Stargate opens, and O'Neill and Teal'c give the details of the returning SG-12.
15. Yeah, it was SG-15.
Oh, I wrote 12 in my notes.
Yeah. Were they the ones who were on...
They're on a different planet, and a guy broke his ankle.
But is this the team that we've established is on base delivery FedEx duty?
I think that's SG-11.
Oh,
is it?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. I should write these down.
But I also really appreciate the characterization of this, because it's like, okay, we've got two of our characters in a time loop. We have picked the two characters who cannot explain a time loop.
Yes.
And like, because like, if Jackson or Carter was in this loop, they would immediately be in problem-solving mode. And O'Neill is just like, I don't know. I'm so far out of my depth. All of these things sound the same. And Teal'c is like stoic, but also just like, I think we did this before.
Yeah.
But I shoot people with guns. I don't know.
That is one thing I appreciate about the writing of this episode, because typically in Groundhog Day style episodes, there's usually only one character who's stuck in the loop, and half the episode is them trying to convince everyone else they're not crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, they've done this in Star Trek, of course. They've done this in Dark Matter, probably a ton of others that I'm not thinking. Of course, Groundhog Day. I actually looked up on TV tropes. I wish I would have bookmarked the damn page, because I was trying to figure out when this trope started, and it actually predates the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Damn it. You know what? I'm just going to look it up right now. Continue. I'm just going to...
But yeah, having a second character in the time loop means,
that definitely helps, yeah.
Hey, we've got somebody to bounce stuff off of.
It shifts the onus from being shifts the onus from being on one person to the pair, which is also nice, because we do get some buddy stuff with them.
Yeah.
You know, they commiserate at a certain point, so that's fun.
The earliest known example we got here on TVTropes.com is The Defense of Duffer's Drift, a movie from 1904. Interesting.
Huh.
One thing that did annoy me is we go back, so in our first time loop, we come back, O'Neill is mid raising spoon to his face with Fruit Loops, yeah. And we can tell Daniel Jackson has been going on, and everybody's kind of checked out, and he asks O'Neill for his opinion. We never find out what he was asking, but the thing that infuriates me, and I understand, time loop episode, we're going to have to shoot this scene a bunch of times.
Yeah.
O'Neill still has a full bowl of cereal. Daniel Jackson has 3 waffles on his plate with one bite cut out that he has just eaten. Carter says, we've been here for half an hour. We've got to get to the meeting, which means they've been sitting there not eating their food. And like, I understand you don't want to like have your characters like eating a whole bunch because you have to shoot the scene over and over again. And then if you're doing that same scene multiple times, you don't want to make Michael Shanks eat 12 waffles. You know,
he's way too buff for that. That's not that's not in his diet.
You don't want to make Richard Dean Anderson eat 2 boxes of Fruit Loops. Like, I understand that. You just have the bowl be empty and him taking his last bite.
I just absolutely love the fact that Ben counted the waffles.
He had a full plate.
Maybe there's a breakfast bar. I know when I got a free breakfast bar at like a hotel or something, I go back for the waffles. I get many waffles.
Well, Vic, you can tell us the commissary on a base, is that pay or
it's typically a buffet. Usually it depends on where you go.
But then I firmly believe that this is Dan Jax's 3rd plate of waffles.
Ah, so you're a waffle man.
So the general postpones the mission just in case. DJ investigates, he gets bowled over. Carter has an idea what's going on as O'Neill drinks a cappuccino to jump back.
Was it a cappuccino, really?
Yeah, he was drinking a cappuccino. There was foam on his finger. That's how you can tell. What?
The details that we pick up on. Like, it's a little detail. I made a note for something about some little detail that I appreciated in this episode. And then I lost my notes. But I was good. I do love the little details. Hopefully I'll figure
just,
out
just what. Just do them again, Vic. You've got the time.
Again?
I do love that we start getting some of the same stuff annoying them each time. So, okay, we canceled the plan. We just don't go to the planet. Will that break the loop? Nope.
Nope.
Right back at it. And both Teal'c and O'Neill are just like, don't send us back to the infirmary. We're okay. Cut to them in the infirmary. And every time it cuts to Teal'c with the thermometer in his mouth, just looking.
And we get the adorable, lovely Dr. Frazier there with the eyeball light. Man, we barely knew ye, Janet. I guess technically we barely knew anyone because of the way we do this podcast, but still.
I do love that on our second loop, they're just like, okay, so we're in a time loop. And everybody's instantly like, okay, yeah, we've been on crazy missions. We got sent back to 1969 once. Like, okay, time loop. We're on board. And it's not like some other instances of this I've seen where, like, it takes a while to explain to stuff. Like, the amount of times people get incredulous in Star Trek when Star Trek shit happens.
Yeah.
Like, man, like,
know this.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, you'd had one of these.
Yeah. Like, T'Pol has time traveled 4 times and is still saying it's impossible.
Impossible.
Right.
The general is asking some questions when the Stargate opens up. Blue Lightning, Fruit Loops. Briefing again. The best part about this episode is this scene to me, where he's all like, well, that's SG-12 coming through the Stargate. 15. 5, 4, 3. I have 12 written on every single page of my notes. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, nothing.
Yeah. He starts tapping his watch.
And then he's like, wait, did it change? Because it's only like the third loop right now, right? Mm-hmm. And just getting it wrong is just so good, because so often when we do this trope, we see like loop 1, loop 2, and then like loop 40.
Right, yeah. Where they fully settled into loop.
Yeah.
Fully settled
into loop. So for that to not be the case here, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. That made it feel a little more real.
I also really appreciated we have our second bit of O'Neill and Dan Jackson talking in the hallway and talking about, hey, you need to translate all of this stuff so we can figure out what's going on. And somebody, I don't know how, like, in the middle of an open hallway just runs into Daniel Jackson and just knocks all of his stuff over like he's a freshman. Mm-hmm. But I did appreciate, and the second time around, there's kind of like a half smirk on O'Neill's face as they're having this conversation. He's just like, I know it's about to happen and I'm going to enjoy this.
I gotta say, I don't remember MacGyver being like this, but my God, O'Neill has got to be the most jaded, sarcastic, motherfucking, gives no fucks about anything character in any sci-fi I've ever seen.
Dude. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but this time they're able to convince them, okay, send us back to 39 or 639, the planet they've been going to.
The PX, whatever,
And
they learn Malachi is there. They learn Malachi knows the looping is happening as well. He's in on the loop. Mm-hmm. And then Malachi also learns that they are in the loop. And we get Daniel Jackson saying it's going to take him years to translate to Fruit Loops. They don't get out of the exam again. O'Neill and Teal confront DJ in his office rather than let him get knocked down. When Sam calls, she's got something. They try dialing out right before the Stormy call to prevent anything from dialing in. They can't dial out. They find out that they can't dial out to anywhere except for a handful of planets which happen to be also caught in the loop.
Subtitles are on right now. I got the episode playing on the TV. Can confirm it's SG-12.
Damn.
Eat shit.
I do appreciate here they have a bit where they go in to visit Daniel Jackson. He's like, okay, I know, so you don't have to keep redoing the same thing over. I had you recorded on this tape player. Play.
Yep.
Like, wouldn't that have gone back in time? Damn it.
Yeah.
And I love O'Neill and Teal'c being like, okay, we're going to do everything we can without learning anything. And all Teal'c is able to bring is, I told you it would not work. It's solutions, Teal'c.
I love this moment, but I don't believe that this moment happens.
You don't think O'Neill's that dumb?
Yeah, he's...
No. I think that he tries the recorder, but I think the thing that he tries to record is Dr. Frazier saying that they're okay and they don't need to do the exam.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens earlier in the loop.
Yeah. Because no one likes that little fucking flashlight in your eyeballs. God, that's the worst.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and this brings up some questions, because I don't, like, from... How long does this loop last? It's not an entire day.
We will...
18
hours. 10 hours.
10 hours?
Is it 10?
They say 10.
Oh,
they
it is 10.
Hours.
Yep, 10 hours.
In the episode.
Yeah.
And we will discuss the implications of that don't matter at the end of this episode, because maybe I did some math. You solve the problems all these days
using math in amazing ways. Oh, okay, good.
So Carter figures out about the other worlds, and that's why SG-12 can dial in, but they can't dial out. They loop again, and we find out every Teal'c loop starts with a low-grade concussion.
Yes, just door to the face. And that's got to be one of those things, because it's like, it has just enough time for him to not be able to react to it.
Yeah.
I do appreciate, though, they start learning Latin and then instead they learn to juggle.
Yeah, that was nice.
Then we find out that out of all of our characters, who is our most morally gray? It's Dan Jackson. Because he's just he's the one who's just like, hey, you're in a time loop. You enjoy not having any consequences? And O'Neill and Teal are just like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, if you know everything's going to reset, no consequences, right? And it's just like...
Yeah, then we get this montage. And I find it odd that infinite time, no consequences, the first thing he decides to do is take up pottery?
You know what, though?
Does that seem odd to anyone?
Ride a bike through the base? Like,
see, now that I would do. That I would do. That's just fun. But the pottery thing, is there some kind of like reason? Did we miss the episode where it's established that instead of joining the Air Force, what Jack O'Neill really wanted to do with his life is take up pottery after he saw Ghost?
I think it's just one of those things where it's an easy shorthand to show I was bad at this and now I am good at this. Yeah. Time must have passed.
So, well, let's just say something. There was an allusion to this before. Let's get weird with it.
Let's get weird.
So he actually takes up pottery because it's his dead son. He's got a dead son, right?
Yes, yeah, he has a dead son.
Yeah, it was his dead son. That was his major in college, was pottery. He was an arts major. And so he picks it up to be closer to him in memory. This is an early enough season of Stargate where we care about that still.
Man, that's sad as fuck.
See, sorry. Did you not say let's get sad with it?
No, it's weird. Hear you?
Oh, weird. Oh, shit. Okay. Come back to me. I got another one.
Okay.
Now I want to redo that drop. It's just instead of let's get weird, it's Chidi from The Good Place. Put the peeps in the chili pot. It makes you feel sad. Or it makes it taste bad.
It makes it taste bad.
I think it's... O'Neill has been trapped on all of these planets with these nerds and this archaeologist. And he's like, I don't care about these glyphs and these writings and whatever. There's broken pots everywhere. Like, at least this stuff was useful. At least, like, this held something. Somebody used this. You know what? I've been around broken pots 100 times in 100 different planets. I'm going to leave my own broken pots somewhere.
Well, I was going to say that O'Neill totally strikes me as a stoner. He's making a bong. I don't know. I haven't done the leaf in like over two decades. Is that a thing? Can you smoke out of a clay pot? You can smoke out of anything, right? Yeah.
That's got to be possible.
Yeah.
There are like...
Stoners in the audience, listeners, chime in, join our Discord, and let us know.
I'm thinking there's like the things that hold the tobacco on hookahs.
Yeah,
those are like clay.
Yeah,
yeah,
are they? Yeah, they are. Okay.
Yeah. So yes, you must be able to smoke the marijuana.
Listeners,
out of pottery.
Drop in photos of your homemade bong creations in our Discord.
I know people smoke out of apples. So
like, yes, I've seen that.
I also, and this is a story I love. I haven't done it in a long time, but I used to, especially when I went out camping, smoke tobacco from a pipe. And it was a thing, like, especially with our LARP. And for a while, so at one point, Jafar, I, and a bunch of our friends made our own leather armor. And it was a...
you guys totally would, man.
It was a multi-weekend project where it's like
identical sets of armor. Yeah.
We work for a couple of hours, like cutting and rolling edges and then dyeing everything. And then we'd go and like chill out on our friend's back porch and like smoke a pipe. And so I'm like, I'm going to get my own. And so I go into a local tobacco shop and I'm just like, hey, this is the place. Like, this is all they do. I don't care if it's just like a $2 corn cob pipe. I just want to have my own. Hey, can I get a pipe? And the guy behind the counter, and I always remember his delivery, looks at me and goes like, yeah, you want to buy some glass? And I'm like, no, just like a wooden tobacco pipe. We don't have those. It's like, but this is your job. This is all you do. It's like, no, that is not what we do, my friend. It says for tobacco use only, but no.
Oh my God, you just reminded me. Okay, real quick story. So a couple weeks ago, I went to my local 7-Eleven and I was wearing my Dominion Media Television hoodie that I had made a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it had the DMT logo on it. And the cashier, you already know where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. I know where this is going. Yeah.
The cashier was like, oh, dude, you know DMT? I'm like, yeah, actually, I own it. Oh, my God. I didn't know that. He was like, oh, that's awesome. You got any on you? I was like, oh, you're talking about the drug, aren't you? So I had to explain to him the Star Trek and the comics and everything. And he was just like, so you're saying you don't have any on you? I'm like, no, goddammit. Let me pay for my Slurpee and shut up.
Something has just occurred to me while we're talking about O'Neill making a bong, which is I have made more bongs than I have smoked out of. Both are a low number, but I am crafty, and I have had friends look for a device and not have something. And so I'm thinking about it. It's like, okay, well, I've made like 2 or 3 out of fruit over the years for people. I've made a couple out of like aluminum cans and stuff. It's all like many, many more than I have smoked out of. It's just a fun little thought I just had.
You know, Javert, getting to know you here, it would not surprise me if you ever built a bong with a fucking Ethernet port or something, or a Bluetooth connection.
It stores the potency of your rips.
Yeah, and then he puts his rips in a spreadsheet organized by date and time.
I don't smoke nearly enough to bother. I could, though.
Yeah, I know you could.
Like I'm already figuring it out in my head. You run it off a Raspberry Pi. You have a little air pressure sensor. Like, you could do this.
So we get some examples of what Teal'c and O'Neill do without consequences. A lot more of O'Neill without consequences than Teal'c without consequences.
Yeah. That Teal'c did not just completely fucking bounce that little smarmy Air Force guy that kept.
He does once.
I know, but that was mild by comparison to what I was expecting. He just slammed the door in his face. I was expecting him to go full WWE on his ass.
It would have been a little dark for this show, but like, I was wondering, like, are they going to do the, like, I just shoot everybody loop?
Have a no Russian in the middle of Giant Mountain. Yeah.
They do set the world, or not world, but the galactic golf drive record, which is where we get the on my back swing where they're shooting golf balls into the Stargate. That was fun. And then we get something that I guess has been alluded to and around us, and Angela mentioned, and we'd never seen it. We see O'Neill kiss Carter. After he quits while wearing his like weird skater snowboard getup.
That was the weirdest part of it for me, dude. He looked like a Limp Bizkit roadie.
It's just one of those days when you keep waking up.
Yeah.
So,
Carter totally looked like she was, waiting for this moment. So
this appeared to be reciprocated attention, yes, thankfully.
So yeah. I'm curious for you guys. You find out, time loop. What's the first thing you do?
I actually have this exact question written in my notes to propose to you both right now.
Okay.
Just as a testament of how long we've been podcasting together, Ben.
Well,
I do ask it a little differently, though. Because I want one serious answer and one not serious answer on what you both do with your time.
Okay. I set off. I'm sorry. We're going to reveal my chaotic evil nature here. I set off a nuclear bomb in Philadelphia because I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but every of the biggest assholes I have ever met in my life are always from fucking Philadelphia. And that is both my serious and my joking answer.
Hold on, let me check our listener statistics based off location. Real
reason. Well, look, man,
listenership is down to zero.
I don't mean to sound prejudiced or anything, but if you're from Philadelphia, you can go fucking pound sand, okay? So
I feel the same way, but about a different city.
What's your city?
Oh, we're not getting into this. We'll never stop. You thought this was a time loop episode.
Well, no, I'm just curious. Just what city? You don't have to go into it.
We'll save it for STLV. All right?
Oh, God damn it. You.
Ben knows that once I start, I will not stop.
Is it in the U.S. at least?
Yes.
Okay.
So my serious thing is I would learn so many fucking languages. I would delay going out of the loop until I had learned like 20 or 30 languages for sure. It would be a thing. I would have to, although I'd want to make sure that I wasn't aging. Like,
yeah,
that's because that's a whole thing. Yeah. Just because time is looping doesn't mean you're not aging.
Yeah,
so you got to be real careful with
that. We'll get into that later, I'm sure, because there's all sorts of things we need to address when it comes to the time loop. Yeah,
yeah. And my not serious thing, I would probably write a really weird fucking book. Just like,
ooh, see, now that's got to be rough because
you have to start over every day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. No, you get it done in a day or you don't. So
yeah.
Yep. And also it can't leave the loop with you, but that's kind of the point.
See, okay. And that's Ben. That's part of the problem I have. Like, I can't do my like video game backlog because my saves don't make it. So if it's not a game you can beat in one day,
24 hours. Yeah.
Well, and they've only got 10, you know, so like I can't even get through a game of Civ in 10 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay, maybe I finally get through my book backlog. You know, that would be cool. I think learning languages would be cool. The problem is, okay, how long does it take you to learn a language? By the time you've learned that fifth language, do you remember any of the second?
Well, you have time to practice. So,
yeah, I guess. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, man, now I've been spending a long time in this loop. And I guess my joke answer, it depends on what day it is. But one thing that would be really cool is like find a local concert with like a nothing nobody band and sing along to all their songs.
Oh, that's sweet.
Having been on stage and having like songs that I was a part of writing being sung back to me, it is surreal. I don't know if I've told this story on this pod or if it was on Who Are You. I think I talked about this kind of recently though, but I remember walking off stage from a show of like 70 people where like 40 people knew the words to a couple of our songs and just getting backstage and being like, oh, I understand why rock stars do heroin now. Like, if heroin is half of what I just experienced, I get it. I understand the desire for drugs at this point.
And then Jafar went on to craft crazy. A lot more heroin syringes than he actually used.
Actually, you know what I would do?
Too precision to work.
God, I have got such a bucket list of things I would do now. I would go to the local zoo and seeing as how we're stuck in a time loop, I would have had time to perfect my lockpicking skills and I would just release everything.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, are we going to find out what's the biggest animal Vic can fight?
Oh, I already know. A giraffe. I'm confident that I could kick a giraffe's ass.
Yeah. If you die in the time loop, do you stop looping or do you wake up?
Yeah.
That's something you don't really want to test, but it's good to know.
Also on my bucket list, I want to go to, I believe it's called the Buckingham Fountain in Chicago. That's the largest public fountain in the U.S. And I just want to dump a whole bottle of Dawn in there and just create massive bubbles and suds and everything. I want that shit clogging up traffic. It's so big.
Oh, that's having to fly places makes me think. One thing I'd like to do is learn to fly a helicopter.
Oh, that's tough. I mean, obviously, never mind. I've known a lot of helicopter pilots, and they are a lot more high strung. Because, like, yeah, there is nothing aerodynamic about a fucking helicopter at all.
Oh, no.
So you constantly got to be, like, looking at everything. And, yeah, there's just, fuck helicopters, man. They're scary. Okay. But, yeah. But you got time, Luke. Right. Go right ahead.
Yep. So, eventually, they press forward here. Dan Jackson completes his translations. And they embark. And they find out what Malachi has been using his loops for.
Force fields.
Now, he makes a point of saying that he traded for these force fields, and it implies multiple transactions and it was difficult to do. He has 10 hours, and he has to do this every day. Because he doesn't know when they're coming back.
Yeah.
So he would have had to have done this and set it up every single loop.
He's got it
down,
man.
So he's working on maybe like three or like, just from the time of like getting the material, he's only got to have maybe 3 or 4 hours on site a day.
He's done it so many times. He's got it down. That's my headcanon for this. He's got the Ferengi arms dealer on speed dial, or he's got the phone number memorized. You know, already knows all the questions they're going to ask. And he's got it down.
He's been translating this, and this is all so that he can spend another day with his wife who passed away 15 years ago. He wants to travel through time.
And the high-tech space photo album that he first shows her in,
mm-hmm.
It just made me realize something. Like, that particular pose has been done in sci-fi media so many times before. Like, where he opens it up, and it's his wife. She smiles at him and turns her head. That exact same pose and that exact same sequence was done in the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie with Nero's dead wife. And and also at the end of Serenity, where they have the grave set up of Shepard's
Wash.
Book
yep.
and Wash. And yeah, they do that exact same thing. They smile and they turn to the head. So the moral of this story is, if you don't want to die, never do that pose on
never
camera.
Never do a turn and yeah. smile.
Yeah.
Be right back recording something.
It's also interesting because this is the same basic premise that the villain had in the Star Trek Voyager time loop episode.
Was it?
Hey, I want to go back to my wife.
Yeah, Year of Hell.
Year of Hell, when Kurtwood Smith that is the villain.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I remember he did that, but I don't remember his motivation for it. Okay,
He was messing with time and accidentally destroyed the colony where his family was. And he had his wife's hair in that time bubble. He didn't have a turn and smile picture.
Yeah.
It's also the plot device behind the movie Looper with Bruce Willis's wife, I think. I might be getting Looper's that wrong.
I'm probably getting that wrong.
I don't know. The biggest problem I have with Looper is the idea that Joseph Gordon-Levitt grows up to be Bruce Willis.
Yeah, it was a terrible casting.
I mean, I guess you can't make it too obvious, but still. Yeah. So O'Neill just, like, appeals to, like, the understanding of loss of a loved one. And then Malachi's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't need to translate anything. They just needed to reason with him.
They could have been out of this in a couple of days.
This was the most anticlimactic ending. Yeah.
But I did appreciate that it was way we get out of this is having our most like reserved and repressed guy connect with someone on an emotional level.
Okay, when you put it like that.
Fifis. Yeah.
I like Malachi's just like, you can't possibly understand. It's like, man, you think you're the only one who's ever lost someone?
Yeah.
You think you're the only one who doesn't want to, you know, go back and spend one last day with somebody? Now, one thing, if they hadn't gone and translated it, Daniel Jackson wouldn't have been able to be like, hey, dude, the ancients didn't get this figured out. That's why they're not here. They're gone because they couldn't get this thing working. This is the old, like, project car in the back of the garage of the house you bought. You're not getting it working.
Yep. And so after this, the loop's broken. O'Neill is eating oatmeal.
That's weird. We learn
that time in the rest of the galaxy progressed as normal.
Yeah, that is important. How does that, it makes no sense with the rotation of the Earth and orbital mechanics.
No. There's all kinds of shit. So, the first question is, how long were they in this fucking thing?
Yeah. We get one kind of oblique reference.
Dan Jackson says it would take him years. So I'm going to put that at 2 years for Dan Jackson to translate everything.
Okay, well,
so I'm going to say
on the other
now,
hand, Jafar, they say
I'm also okay. Ben, I already did the math, let me go. I'm not changing my math for you on the fly. Fuck off. Let me finish explaining my math. So, now I'm assuming that when he says it would take me years, he is not talking about actual years. He's talking about work days, right? Like if I were to spend 8 hours a day on this, it would take me 2 years. Because when you say you're going to do something, that's what you're actually saying. You know, when you're factoring time at that scale, it's going to take me 10, 20 hours. You're not talking about it in a single stint anymore. You're talking about it over the scope of days. Keeping that in mind, factoring in that he's not translating it, I'm going to say it took 2.5 years or 912 loops.
Damn.
Just 365 times 2.5. It's a 10-hour loop, 9,120 hours. divided by 365 divided by 24 is 1 year and 15 days they are caught in this loop.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds, I can believe that. But I mean, did you factor in that it's not actually Daniel Jackson doing this? It's,
yeah, I added a half a year for that.
Well, Teal'c and O'Neill explain what Daniel Jackson did yesterday to him.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow. That's the other example that I forgot. My favorite fucking Tom Cruise movie. I love that movie.
Edge
and I
of
hate
Tomorrow.
Tom Cruise, so that's saying a lot.
It is one of the best Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's a, what it is it's a great Emily Blunt movie that happens to have Tom Cruise.
Present.
And the reason why it's a great Tom Cruise movie is because he gets the shit beat out of him.
Yes, so many times. It is so satisfying to watch.
But can we talk about how that movie fucked up for just a half second? Because I never will have an opportunity to talk about it again. That is based off of a Japanese book.
That All You Need Is Kill. I own it.
Right? Why do you change that title?
I know, that's the coolest fucking name ever.
Right?
It's Live, Die, Repeat is better.
It is. That's why they half renamed the movie.
Now, that said, Jafar, does that mean the members of Tok'ra Intelligence? Because we do find out Tok'ra Intelligence noticed they were missing and have been trying to get in touch with them for 30 days. Now,
that doesn't make sense at all, because is it just the planet Earth that's trapped in the loop?
All of the planets connected to that central hub were out of time.
That makes no sense at all.
That just makes no fucking sense. I mean, it's just bullshit. Fuck. Oh my.
Because then you would have been...
One thing, Vic, though.
It doesn't make any sense.
Fortunately, Vic, space is very big.
Well, okay.
So it's possible that now this chunk of the galaxy... is now kind of scrooched this way, and is now closer.
But
that could be a big problem.
But it also means, did Tok'ra Intelligence just be like, man, we haven't heard from those guys in like over a year. Should we check in on them?
And
Apophis is just like, I'm done doing it. Like, I'm just going to dick around for a year.
What does your big bad that season do with that extra year of shit?
He's not caught in the time loop. Yeah. So if the Earth keeps moving, like the physical Earth, and is it just the people experiencing the time loop? Eventually, you're going to go through winter, you're going to go through summer.
Oh, no, the planet resets.
Also.
So if the planet resets, then it's going to start colliding with other shit. Everything
in the solar system resets every day.
It's not just Earth. It has to be the whole solar system that's caught in the time loop, too.
Yes, it's multiple solar systems.
The best worst answer is it's the entire circle.
Yeah.
And those are just like all of those stargates in that circle. And it just happens that Earth is in that circle. And it also just so happens that like there's not other stargates in there or something.
That's
like,
the explanation for it. Yeah.
It's
in my head, everything in that circle is now closer to everything. As it rotates around the galactic edge. Fortunately, you'd have to move a lot more than a year to run into anything.
Yeah. Well, so my estimation on 912 loops is incredibly optimistic.
Yeah.
Because all we have to do is take it from the 10 to 24, and then all of a sudden we're doubling the amount of loops, you know. So now it's multiple years. Not to mention, you know, relativity and everything would also start when we're talking about time at this scale and the motion of moving planets back 10 hours. There's all kinds of unknown implications for how time's progressing in the rest of the galaxy. It's so fucky. Like they could have, Unas could have died of old age. Like Chaka could be dead of old age. It is not impossible.
It is not.
But what is impossible is the task that lies before me.
As much as I have been looking forward to this, eagerly anticipating, impatiently waiting, what's your fair pick for us to watch next? I do got to bring out one more point about the time loop. And that is, it's 10 hours, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Teal'c and O'Neill were awake that entire time. So they haven't slept in over 2 years. that's got to fuck with your head, man. Because now I'm thinking that when time resets, their body resets. Mm-hmm. So yes. Whatever
they're
they
not
ate,
biologically
yeah,
tired.
The whatever they had for lunch is not in your digestive tract anymore. So, but still, having a year's two and a half years worth of memories straight without a break, that has got to do something to your brain. That can't be. That cannot be good.
Surely. Yeah.
And okay, also, well, it was morning, yeah. So they couldn't even go back a loop and then just go right to sleep.
Yeah, you can't take a nap. Yeah, because I mean, yeah, you wouldn't be
tired. My body's
tired,
not tired.
Biologically, yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's another thing I would do in a time loop. I would do all the drugs. There's no long-term effects, man. Yeah, I want to try all the things all at once. Okay, all right.
What do we got?
So, I'm torn.
Are you burnt?
Are you burnt?
I've got two shows on my list. And I've done everything I possibly can to try and decide between the two, and I can't.
Okay.
Do you have the coin?
I've got the coin.
You got the coin. All right. I'm going to write down the shows.
Okay.
And their respective things. Don't flip it yet, real quick. See, heads, tails will do.
For those of you at home, if you didn't listen to Jafar and I's old podcast, this is a 1976 Eisenhower Silver Dollar.
We've used it to resolve many an issue, and we will continue to use it to resolve issues in memory of our time on Draft the Universe. All right. I have my two options written down. It's off camera right now. When you flip, I will lift it up, and then we'll see what we got going.
Oh, all right. My God. Flip. Put them on camera.
Well, say what it is before we see.
Heads is Shameless. We're watching Shameless. The other option was
damn
Alias.
It. I wanted to watch Alias out of those two.
Fuck!
Oh, all right. I was holding the post-it note upside down.
Now you're holding it right.
All right, well, we're doing Shameless.
The joke
is...
would be that that would make Alias.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not how writing upside down.
Yeah, no, that's not how that works. But I did predict this way back like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I made a post on DMT saying that each of our picks, and yeah, I put you down as you're most likely going to pick Shameless, so... I'm starting off the season with 1 point.
Yeah.
You know what? I remember that post. Take your point, Vic. You've got it.
Take my point now.
Take your point.
I'm not going to take your point.
You say that now, but you might want that point in a couple
of
weeks.
Well, I have a plan for this new season. I am going to try to make predictions that only can be proved on camera or on episodes that we are going to watch. So that's what I'm going to try to do to make it. Yeah, that was my thing. That's what I was going to do with Viper. I was going to pick, like, read the description.
134 episodes.
Ooh.
11 seasons.
No shit. Wow. I've never heard of this TV show before you brought it up. So, damn, I'm out of the loop here.
We purposefully set the dice to be longer for Stargate. We aimed for 15 episodes. We normally aim for 8. So we will actually be rolling the same set of dice that we used for Stargate that we did for Shameless to try and get 8 episodes compared to the 15 that we aimed for Stargate. So we're going to be rolling 3D6 and 2D4.
But we're watching the pilot next time.
But we're watching the pilot, yes.
We're watching the pilot, yep. So where? Let me see, where is Shameless streaming?
I believe Netflix.
Okay, well, I'm glad you got that media server set up because... God, Netflix changes their fucking library every week, it seems like. Oh, it's also on Freevee. Okay, so we're good. We got backups.
All right. Yeah. So we'll be watching Shameless next week.
Correction.
We'll be watching Shameless in a few weeks because we're going on
break.
We're going to take a couple weeks off and then we'll be back.
Cool.
So our next episode back is going to be the first week of April. So
that's going to be my freedom week. I'm going to be a free man.
Terrifying.
Freedom, freedom, freedom. Oi.
I don't know what that is, but yes.
From Futurama.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen Futurama.
Well, with that, all that's left to do is say thank you. Thank you, Ripe, for letting us use Goon Squad as a theme song. Still doesn't feel real. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And I want to take a moment to say a special thank you to everyone in the Dominion Media Research Lab for all your kind words and support and donations, even while I was in the hospital last week. So thank you all for that. I take back most of the bad things I said about the lab rats, you bunch of dirty liars. But thank you for that. And also thank you to my co-hosts here, Jafar and Ben. You were incredibly supportive. Honestly, I'm glad to have friends like you too. Thank you so much.
Glad you're doing better, Vic.
Thanks.
And thank you to Annette Lucina for your photograph of a TV that we have turned into our podcast artwork. Thank you for making free art so that we can make free art. And that feels incredibly weird after that super sincere thing Vic just said.
I know, I'm sorry. I mean, it's all weird and squishy on you. But
okay. Yeah.
Now, thank you guys for the movie, so, yeah.
And we will see you all next time on Last Time On.
Shameless, here we come!